Blog Talk Radio.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is January 25th, 2016, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And today's show, The Healing Soul. Your host, Mary Beth Rombeck-Nelson, is an author, spiritual teacher, Reiki master, Reiki teacher, and an intuitive. She enjoys giving readings and teaching classes, lectures, and seminars in both Michigan and abroad. Her goal is to teach you some intuitive techniques to open up your third eye while incorporating wellness and oneness. Her topic for today is Akashic Records, Past Lives, and Karma. So without further ado, I give you your wonderful host, Mary Beth.
Hi, Courtney. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'd like to welcome everyone to The Healing Soul, and I hope you're enjoying a little bit warmer weather for Michigan anyways, and at least we avoided the big snowstorms here. Today's topic, I am going to talk about the Akashic Records. And a little bit about past life karma and what it all means to you and how you can learn how to access the records for yourself and learn about your previous lives. And maybe it will open and awaken you up to that aha moment of what karma you should be working on this time around with your soul's past and your soul's mission in this lifetime. So I know some of you are already familiar with the Akashic Records, but I'm going to go into it just a little bit for people that aren't familiar. The Akashic Records is believed to be a record of every thought, every deed, and every action in your life. And it's been called the Book of Life. It's mentioned in the Bible. It can be exciting, you know, because when you learn how to meditate and access the Akashic Records, you can learn about previous lives, and you might see a common theme or pattern that you've experienced in this life, and it will give you a profound aha of this is the lesson that I need to learn, and these are the action steps that I need to take to change this pattern in this lifetime, to truly align with your soul's path and your soul self to actualize the lesson that you came back to learn in this lifetime. So some scriptures and ancient texts call it the Book of Life. And if you want to look it up in the Bible, it's in Revelations 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was open, which is the Book of Life. The Book of Life and Akashic Records are interchangeable terms, and they are listed in many ancient texts across the globe. The word Akasha actually is Sanskrit for boundless space. So if you think of, you know, hundreds of years that you've come back and reincarnated in all of those lives that you've lived, and can you imagine recording in a diary every deed, every thought, every action, every interaction with other people, your family, your friends, your work, your community is recorded. And the lessons and soul growth that comes from, you know, viewing these different lifetimes and accessing the soul's lessons, and it really can open you up to getting aligned and in tune with your soul's path so that you can accomplish much soul growth in this lifetime that you chose to come back to. So it can be a predictor of your future behavior when you go in and view your records, and you can decide to exercise your free will and make a change and write down your goal for your soul, your soul goal for 2016. If you can accomplish anything to get you more attuned with your soul and aligned with your spirituality, to have your soul grow beyond all expectations that you've had before. You know, set a goal for yourself and think of action steps that you can take so that you can realize and self-actualize in this lifetime. If you see negative patterns just from reflecting over your life, realize that these patterns can be changed even if you've been repeating them for six lifetimes. Awareness and a plan of action and a goal for your soul and taking your soul's path in a different direction is completely up to you, and the change is up to you, and taking personal responsibility for your life in this lifetime can steer you in the right direction if you meditate, quiet down, and listen to your soul. So for connecting with your own personal Akashic records, I use a meditation where I'll light a candle and I'll think about my life and what I feel my soul's path is and my soul's mission for this lifetime. And I'll visualize in the meditation, I'll do three deep breaths, shut my eyes, and then I'll ask that the records be open, and I'll take three more deep breaths. And then I visualize going up marble stairs up to a big, beautiful door at the top of the stairs. And I know in my mind's eye that when I open the door, that the Akashic records will be available for all of my life to view in the Great Book or the Book of Life or the Akashic records. And I go over and I visualize a book on a marble pedestal, and the book is open to exactly the spot that I meant to learn the lesson for that day and that past life. So I really do feel like God or higher consciousness knows what you need at any given time to view, and that will be the glimpse of the records that you do view for that day's meditation. And don't get discouraged if you meditate the first time and you don't get any knowing thoughts that come to you about your past lives. Sometimes, just like with regular meditation, it can take a little bit to get used to and get in the attunement and alignment with the records. And sometimes if you can't open the records on the first try, maybe you weren't supposed to that day. So everything, there is no coincidences, and I believe that everything happens for a reason. So keep trying and then journal what comes through when you are able to view them. And what you do, I mean, some people after doing this for a while will get like a snapshot picture of a situation. Some people get knowing thoughts of, you know, how old you were, you know, you lived in Jerusalem. You know, one of my meditations, I saw that I lived in Jerusalem and it was a couple hundred years ago, and that I had 10 children, and that I was in a relationship that was unbalanced and abusive, and that my soul needed to realize that I deserved just as much love as I was giving, and to demand respect and expect love for myself. So that was just one of my experiences, but how cool is that? And it's definitely a pattern of this lifetime for me, that it's easier for me to give and to do for someone than to allow them to do for me. But that self-love and realizing that you deserve just as much love as you give, I really feel has been a common theme for my lives and my soul's growth. And you can, you know, if you have a big decision coming up, you can ask to see the outcome of your future decisions. And sometimes they can give you a nudge on maybe another option that you hadn't thought of, and you can take that path instead of the one that you initially were going to take, because it's all up to you and your free will and the choices that you make. So you can change a pattern of behavior. You know, it's not always easy, but it's definitely doable. You can evolve, and your soul growth will be huge and you can self-actualize in this lifetime to do the work that your soul came back and reincarnated back into this lifetime to do. Like I said, the meditations on the Book of Life or the Akashic Records that I do, 30 minutes and see, you know, what comes through. Once I've got the message for the day, I'll just visualize closing the book, walking back out the doors and down the stairs. I take 3 deep breaths once I'm at the bottom of the stairs, and on the 3rd breath, I open my eyes and I thank the records for the message that came through for me. And even if I don't get much that day, I always have gratitude for any knowingness that comes through or any thought that comes through to me. So all the past lives that you've lived up to this point have formed your present soul and the karma that you're living through. And every day that you're alive and breathing, you're creating through your actions and interactions with the people that you know, through your work, through your private life, through your children, are, you know, special and new karma that you're laying down in this lifetime. So you're constantly evolving, and I think what's exciting about that is if you don't like where you're going, tomorrow is always a new day, and you can make a plan for yourself and develop your spirituality and learn how to meditate and grow spiritually so that you can change the fate of this lifetime. And really, you know, if you're going to come back, and, you know, many of us will, you'll change the fate of your future lifetimes, you know, in the universe and the universal consciousness. What you're putting out there definitely is your fate and your future lives if you choose to come back. And at any rate, it's your soul growth and your soul expansion. So really decide to take the best soul path this year and take a couple days or a week and kind of focus on it every day. And if you could become more enlightened and more spiritual, what do you need to do, or what do you want to do, or what have you always wanted to do to develop your soul and get on your soul's path to make this lifetime and this incarnation really meaningful for you to, you know, have come back through this? It's always painful, the experiences, you know, it's not always rosy in this life on earth. And if you can have exponential soul growth this time around and not have to come back, you know, that's a beautiful thing, to have evolved to the point where you've learned your soul's lesson in this lifetime. Courtney, do we have any questions?
Yeah, we actually did have a couple of questions. How
okay.
do you feel about... And I've heard this a lot, and some of your listeners have heard this too. How do you feel about your lifetime as far as karma? Do you feel like some of the things that you go through in this particular lifetime is due to karma in your past, or do you feel like you kind of sign up for everything you get in this life before you come down?
I feel like we sign up because we viewed the karma that we laid in our previous lifetimes. So I feel like we evaluate ourselves and our soul. And when we choose to reincarnate, if we didn't learn the lesson in the previous lifetime, I think that we put the obstacle in our lives on purpose to see if we cannot grow and handle it a different way. If someone wrongs us and we forgive them and we let it go and we grow this time around our karma and our soul growth, I really feel like we do put those obstacles for the opportunities. Challenges are really opportunities to choose a different way this time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel like, you know, because I've heard this before, that every lifetime you experience, you know, you're obviously on the path to enlightenment, and every lifetime has its unique set of lessons and experiences that you have to learn. And I've actually had somebody mention before that that is why, like, every lifetime is different. Do you feel that way? I mean, based on the past lives you've experienced?
I feel like it's different to a certain extent because you'll have, you know, many times you'll have different jobs. Many times you'll have new people. But I do feel like we do sign up with soul groups and come back again and again. And, I mean, you think of all the different areas where you can have soul growth and expansion. Say we've tackled in one lifetime one obstacle, there's many others to tackle before we're done coming back. So I definitely feel like you can have diverse experiences each lifetime. But again, you know, I talk to hundreds of people throughout the year, and people do seem to have a common pattern and theme of a lesson that they need to learn. But it can be diverse too, you know, different areas of the world that you lived in, different circumstances, because again, the potential for soul growth, there's many different areas for growth.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you talked a little bit about, you know, meditation access your past lives. Can you talk about dream work with past lives? I know a lot of people are very confused when it comes to, I had this really, really vivid dream that didn't really fit, you know, this time scale. Did I dream about a past life?
Well, you know how I compare it to is if you go to a psychic, an astrologer, or an intuitive, you're going to get a different reading each time because everybody has their little different modality that they're specialized in. And it's the same with, you know, all people, is you can get a message through this meditating on the records, or you can get it through your dream where it's so vivid and, you know, you were in Egypt and you could see this room and you saw somebody laying on a table and you saw the crystals beaming throughout the room and, you know, you saw all these things that were of Egypt and you wake up and you're like, wow, it's really like I was there. That can be a past life vision that they put through to you while you were sleeping. So there's many different ways to get the messages of your past life. There's not just one modality or one way. I mean, you can literally, you know, if you're spiritual or religious, you can pray. You can ask your angels and archangels to help you to get attuned. I really feel like it's an attunement and alignment of life lessons with your soul. If you're attuned and the time is right for you to learn that lesson and to really grow from it, I feel that the other side is going to make that happen for you the easiest way it is for you to interpret and get the message.
Mm-hmm. I agree as well.
Yeah.
We also had a little bit of a question about ignoring past lives, which is very interesting. It's kind of like the opposite end of the spectrum. Do you feel like you should acknowledge your past lives within this lifetime? That is something that is kind of required for alignment and moving forward on a spiritual basis, you know, because some feel like, hey, you know what, that was the past and I don't need to pay attention to that. You know, that doesn't apply. So how do you feel about that subject?
Well, I feel like it can be a crutch if you become obsessed with it. Just like I have clients that want a reading every week and I won't read them every week because it's like you have free will. You have to live your life in this lifetime. You can't always keep, you know, looking back or in the future. You have to live in the present now. It's the same with past lives. You can glimpse, and especially if you're having doubts about situations or about if you're not sure you're doing what your soul wants you to do, that's a great time to glimpse at the records, or you can even glimpse at the future of your, you know, the predictable things that are in the book of life for you. But you have to live in the now. And if you feel pretty grounded and you feel pretty good that you're going on your soul's path and you're already going in the right direction and you feel complete and whole and at peace, there's really no need to keep looking at the records. Mm-hmm. But if you're another person and you're in the job that you really hate, it doesn't feel right, the person you're married to, and you have all these things that just don't seem right to you. And if you glimpse and you see a lifetime that it the pattern hits you over the head, that can be really beneficial, not to dwell on it, but that aha moment of, oh, I've done this before. This is what I need to be doing. So, you know, it can go either way depending on your life situation.
Mm-hmm. I like
feel
how you
very
talk-
interesting. I'm sorry.
I like how you talk about that, you know, there's different ways to access your past lives and so forth. And also as far as Akashic records, have you ever worked with any tools to do so, such as maybe crystals or herbs or so forth and so on?
I haven't, but I have a feeling you have. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so what is your experience? Because I'm very interested in getting into the herbal and the crystals, because the one lifetime I did see for myself was in Egypt as a healer using crystals. And, you know, I do the healing, but I don't per se use crystals. And I've been mm-hmm. very interested in learning more about the holistic herbs. And so what do you do with the herbs and the crystals?
Well, I mean, I know you, Mary Beth, know my background. So
uh-huh.
I work with herbs a lot, especially because I studied the magical purposes of them, as well as, you know, the manifestation and the healing. So I actually have a specific herbal combination I like to use when I want to induce dreams or I actually want to induce past life work. I'm not afraid to share the combination. So I would say if you're interested and you do like to work with herbs, I usually use yarrow, mugwort, rosemary, and, I can't think of the anise seed. And I usually use that combination. You can put it underneath your pillow at night. It kind of just opens you up a little bit further for sleep, and it smells really good.
Okay.
So you can actually use it just to kind of induce dream work where you want to remember your dreams or so forth. But I've actually used the combination in a spell or a manifestation to actually induce past lives, and it's worked for me. As far as
okay.
crystals are concerned, one of my favorites that is actually really gaining popularity right now is Iceland spar or optical calcite. Both of them are considered record-keeping stones, so if you want to access your Akashic records, meditating with those stones would be great, but they're also great for past life travel.
Okay.
I find with past life travel, sometimes people have a hard time, like, breaking themselves out of the meditation, or I don't know if you've ever done this where you're working in a past life and you're kind of seeing it, it's almost like you don't want to leave. Like you're trying
right.
to kind of grab that rope to come back because you know you can't stay.
Right.
A lot of times I'll use the combination of labradorite and hematite for that.
Okay.
So that you have a highly spiritual stone that's going to help take you there, but you have a highly grounding stone that's going to kind of yank you and bring you back so you don't stay.
And that's, you know, like when I do the meditation, when I start and I ask them to open, I think beforehand, I'm only going to do this for 30 minutes, and my cue to come back is when I've walked down the stairs in my meditation and take the 3 deep breaths, and then I open my eyes, and then I'm back. So I think about that before I actually start.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally visualize a golden thread coming from my crown chakra to universal consciousness and to the records throughout the whole thing. And I've always seen that golden thread.
Now, do you find that you use that as protection? Because I know that some people believe that when you're accessing that kind of information, you should still protect yourself before going into that. So is that your protection?
Well, that is exactly why I do it, for protection. And, you know, I personally will put the white light of the Holy Spirit around me, and I visualize that golden thread, you know, going to the universal consciousness, kind of like a tether in my mind's eye of coming back. in through my crown chakra and back into this lifetime, into the now moment. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
But I definitely, you know, you need to have a process that you feel comfortable with, and, you know, you want to have good entities around you, and that's why I will ask the angels and archangels to help and be around too for protection and just to be safe and feel good about the situation and what you're doing. And it never hurts.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't hurt at all. It's actually also a way, you know, to just make sure that you're not getting anything you're not supposed to.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because there are dark entities that you don't want to, you know, your soul to encounter. And just because, you know, you're thinking, well, I want to, especially if you're new to this kind of thing and you want to go look at the records, if you just go off in meditation without any kind of grounding or protection, I mean, if there are dark entities around, you might get a spirit that wants to communicate with you or attached with you that you don't want. So, you know, to have that clear soul focus of this is where I want to go and this is what I want to do, and I know I'm protected, and I've asked my angels and archangels to surround me, and I know that I have the golden thread coming from my crown chakra that will, when I want to come back, and I, you know, do my three deep breaths and my visualization of walking down the stairs, that when I open my eyes, I'll be back and I'll be safe. So that is definitely a good thing to think about beforehand, and to have, you know, if you believe in the Holy Spirit, you can say the Holy Spirit. If you believe in angels, you can say angels. Or you can just visualize, you know, pure white light. And or you can even say, only those from the highest good can come to me or surround me or be with me. So you're not allowing any other entities to come to you.
Or if you want to get physical, you can throw some salt down.
Well, yeah, literally. Or, you know, bless the room with sage. And, you know, and I love sage too. I have a sage stick that I burn throughout the house, and that always makes me feel like there's good energy and a higher energy in the room when I do that. And, you know, I'm blessing the room basically when I do that. And I also, I'll burn, you know, a white candle for purity too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary Beth, would you like to take a little bit of a short break before we come back to more
sure.
questions and the rest of your topic?
Okay.
Awesome. Well, if you're listening live right now, you're listening live with the Healing Soul. If you have any questions at all about the topic being discussed today, you can call in on our guest line. The number is 646-378-0378, and that number again is 646-378-0378. If you're listening in the chat room, you're more than welcome to ask questions in there, and I will make sure to read them on the air as well. Upcoming events for Mary Beth include, her books are available on Amazon.com covering supernatural topics. Search on Amazon under Mary Beth Rombach Nelson. Mary Beth has openings for readings and Reiki. Give her a call to schedule an appointment to find out what 2016 holds for you. Her number is 734-890-8581 to schedule your reading. Mary Beth's next Reiki 1 certification class is on March 19th at noon. Her Reiki 2 certification class is March 20th at noon. She has a Reiki 3 class coming up on January 30th at noon. And on February 6th, she will have her master class at noon. You must pre-register to attend these classes, so definitely give her a call at 734-890-8581 to schedule and to attend those classes. Mary Beth is also available on the second and fourth Saturdays during the month from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Crazy Wisdom Tea Room in Ann Arbor, Michigan. During this time, she is available for walk-in readings. For more information and to listen to Mary Beth's archive shows, we ask you to to please visit bodymindspiritradio.com and click on the Healing Soul. You can also connect with her by website or phone at 734-890-8581, and her website is spiritualintuitivemb.com. And now back to your host, Mary Beth.
Thank you, Courtney. So I really feel like, too, another strong connection with the Akashic Records are developing your intuition, and also there's alignment of the planets and astrology at the time of your birth. I really feel has a huge influence on when we choose to reincarnate and come back, because it definitely the astrology predicts a lot of your personality and traits. You know, not always 100%, but usually it's, you know, 70-80% at least, sometimes more. So when I really feel like when we reincarnate, we pick our exact time of birth and when we're going to re-enter Earth on this plane, that we have free will from our soul to come back, and that the alignment of the planets and the astrology exactly fit the focused life lessons that we're to learn, combined with our past lives and the karma from our past lives that we've accumulated throughout time. You know, some people feel like they've had many, many lives, like 40, 50 lifetimes. Others feel like they've come back maybe 9 times. And I really feel like it's up to our soul to decide how far we want to evolve. And, you know, it's like when you go to college, if you want to get a 2-year degree or a 4-year degree, or if you want to keep going and get your PhD, I really feel like it's somewhat equivalent to your soul's expansion, growth, and self-actualization into learning all those life lessons, and there's so many that we can learn from a soul level. Forgiveness, just having love for even those that don't have the capacity to love. It doesn't mean you have to be around them, but just becoming that selfless person that I really feel like your soul wants you to become and evolve to. And some of the lessons are really hard, and it's human to get angry and feel, you know, vengeful sometimes, but then you focus and it's like we're all human. None of us are perfect. There's, you know, bad days people have, there's situations. And if someone really ultimately hurts you at a soul level, you can forgive them and move on. It doesn't mean you need to be around them. But just the act of forgiving and letting it go and taking a deep breath and saying, this is a positive I learned from this situation. I'm not going to dwell on it in this lifetime. And I'm going to continue to allow my soul to grow and not get stuck. Because it's when we get stuck in those hardships in life, in those tragedies in life, which it's, you know, I'm not judging anyone. It's easy to do. But when you really, from a soul level, figure out the lesson that you can learn from it and move on, and if you need to get away from that person or relationship, you can. But handling it in a different way and breaking a negative pattern really is freeing for your soul. So, I mean, as far as the astrology, you know, you think the stars and the planets, you know, stood still at that exact moment that you entered this earth plane. And how cool is that? And how cool is it to, you know, study astrology and realize it really does describe your personality to a great extent and can be a predictor of, you know, how your day or month or year is going to go. And I really feel like through our free will affirmations, positive thoughts over our life are huge. I feel like that's like step one of soul growth is declaring positive affirmations. And anybody that's friends with me on Facebook, I have several different pages that I post affirmations on. One of them is Thank You God for Today, and and the healing soul, of course, I put positive affirmations, but I feel like it just really puts a positive attunement to your day and your life, you know, while you read that and meditate on it. So, you know, your thoughts become your actions, you know, become your life. And once you start taking new and more positive actions, you develop a soul theme that you know where you want to develop spiritually and at a soul level with those choices that you make through your free will. And your soul's progression keeps moving forward, and you don't become stagnant or stuck on a specific situation that you might have to repeat in another lifetime. You know, we all know people that have a tragedy happen and it basically ruins all of their days for the rest of their life. And that's really sad when they could, you know, take a period to grieve the situation and then get strong again and move on and learn a hard life lesson. Those epiphany lessons happen sometimes in the worst accidents or the worst tragedies in life. You learn so much. So connecting with a universal consciousness through affirmations, increasing your intuition with meditation, accessing the Akashic Records and the Book of Life to see what predictors are there in your past life, what patterns. You can ask about future decisions, and if the time is right, you can, you know, be guided toward another choice that you could make that might turn out better. Or just, it's always what you're supposed to see. I really feel like it's a synchronicity and alignment and attunement that you're supposed to see at that exact moment. So, you know, writing down what comes through and not just reading it and then leaving it alone, but actually putting it into action for your soul's growth and expansion in this life. And asking your angels and guides to help you to get the messages. And, you know, if you feel like you're in a good place, you can keep going and you'll know that inner knowing. You'll know if you're on your soul's path and your soul's evolving. Excuse me. Courtney, are there any more messages? Are there any more questions?
Would you mind sharing a past life experience that you've had, maybe one that's kind of caught you off guard unexpectedly?
The one that I got was when I was in Jerusalem, and it was, like I said, it was a couple hundred years ago, and I had like 10 children, and I was like so tired and drained, and I like saw a sitting down at a table, and there was dirt on the floor, but it was inside, and my husband at the time was being very talking down to me and condescending and not treating me very well. And I just took it and I didn't say anything and I quieted the kids down, and it just was like watching, it was like watching a movie. I visualized and could see it. And I was like, okay, wow. I mean, I have been in relationships where I'll give, but it's hard for me to receive. And it was like, okay, I need to learn the lesson that I am deserving of respect and just as much love as I give, and that it's not selfish to expect to be treated well and to expect just as much love as you're giving. And I mean, that sounds like a simple lesson, but it was like really clear at the interactions, and I could see myself. I was probably in my late 20s, and I had all these kids, so I must have like started having children really, really young. And I was like, wow, you know, this is, has been a pattern for me, is to receive help from people and to let people help me and not feel bad. I would rather be the one helping somebody else. So it just kind of like that aha moment of, okay, that's kind of a small common theme here. Not totally, but it was very interesting. It was very real. And when I came back, I'm like, wow, I would never have thought that I lived in Jerusalem. That was never a thought. I never really had a huge desire to go there. And, you know, I think sometimes our soul will nudge us back to a place where we have that deja vu of, I know I've lived here before. So I really didn't feel like that about Jerusalem. And now it's like, you know, I wouldn't mind visiting there, because maybe there'll be a certain area where I will get that deja vu shiver that goes down your spine where you know you've been there before. So, you know, and like I said, Egypt and the healing and the crystals, and that felt like home to me when I had the past life vision of Egypt, and the crystals were hanging. There were open windows with no screens, and it was aligned to the sun, and the crystals were hanging, and the sun was shimmering through all these bright crystals, and, you know, north, south, east, and west, in every direction. And I had a patient on the table and was doing healing over them while the crystals beamed in through all of the windows. So it was just like awe. It took my breath away. It was just beautiful. So I felt like there is a common theme of taking care of people and being a healer and an intuitive in other lifetimes also. Do you want to share one of your past lives?
I will share my first past life, because I actually know about several of mine. And the first past life experience I ever had, I was actually, I want to say, still in my teens, and I had this very, very vivid dream. And it was during, you know, the medieval times where, you know, there was kings and queens and all of that. I actually want to say it was actually earlier than the Tudor reign in England. And I was actually a prostitute.
Oh, wow.
Which was very shocking for me, because I could actually never see myself doing that. But I had fallen in love with somebody who was, you know, of higher standing than me. And he had promised me, you know, a future, you know, I would be a gentleman's wife and so forth and so on. And I didn't believe that he was serious. So I decided to do one last trick, so to speak, to make sure I had enough money just in case he did turn on me. And he caught me. And he actually decided to leave me. So it was a big life, I guess, of that karmatic lesson of trust, which I still have that issue in this life. So, and I've worked through a lot of it, but I definitely learned a lot from that. Now, the interesting part about it was a couple of years later, I was dating a gentleman, and he decided to go into a past life session. And when he was under, he described the same exact past life, and he was actually the gentleman, and he had absolutely no clue that I had had that past life. It was never anything me and him had discussed.
It
so
makes perfect sense, though. It does,
yes.
Because our soul groups, we do this again and again, so it makes perfect sense. I bet it totally freaked you out.
It did in a way, but this time, in this lifetime, I left him. And it was meant to be. It was like maybe that cycle of closure where I hadn't had it in that life, I had it in this. So, and I really honestly don't think that in any, you know, future lives that I have that I will repeat them with him. So, but that was also a question that, you know, one of our listeners brought up. Do you feel like souls repeat in lives? And have you had an experience where maybe you've had a past life, or you know, and you recognize somebody that you are currently with or grouped with in this lifetime?
Definitely. And I feel like one of the souls, my father-in-law that just passed on January 11th, that I instantly liked him. I felt like I knew him before, and like we had been in another lifetime before together. But he wasn't so much into all the intuitive and supernatural topics, but I still shared some things with him. And he didn't totally reject them. He listened, and I just know that our souls had been together before. And I've also had my current sister I've had a lifetime in Ireland where I was a nurse, and she wasn't my sister, but she was my friend. And then my current husband, I have had three other lifetimes with him, and it's always a communication obstacle. So it's like there are common threads of, you know, everybody's got the normal obstacles that humans have. And I do feel like we get different things to work on each time. But if we didn't learn it enough to satisfy our soul, it's like, oh, I want to redo. So we can come back on the same topic and expand even more. Or we can pick a new topic. And I really feel like, you know, Earth sometimes can be hell on Earth. You know, it can be really hard. You know, you look at different families who lose multiple people young, or things that run in families, hereditary, and there's a lot of illness. I really feel like the negativity and the feeling of emotions and surpassing even the worst obstacles and tragedies and still living in the now moment and still having joy, peace, and serenity and growth is like phenomenal soul growth. So it's almost like the more tragedy, not that you want tragedy, but if you learn the lessons from those hard things that happen in your life, and you don't pour me yourself and don't become the victim. I mean, cry for a week or two and then say, okay, I've got a lot of good things, and you focus on the positive in your life, you can overcome those human negative tragedies that are going to happen, and you're going to have that soul growth, and you're going to be able to be confident and happy, you know, no matter if someone says negative things to you, you're like, I know who I am, and it's okay. That's their problem, not mine. And not being arrogant, but just having, I call it soul confidence. It's like, I know who I am, and I know that what I'm supposed to learn in this lifetime. And everyone can have their own opinions, but it's like you don't let praise really affect you either, because you already know who you are from a soul level. I mean, you thank people and you're polite, but it's when you get to that spot where you realize who and what you stand for and who and what you are, regardless of what another person or people say to you, I really feel like you're close to having that soul alignment with universal consciousness, opening up to all the knowing that's available, and just continually growing and helping and teaching and expanding in every way that you can, and that you almost look like a little obstacle. It's like, okay, this is a learning opportunity that can enrich me even further and have my soul go even higher up. And I do feel like we move higher up as we go through these different lives. And I do think there's a point when your soul reaches its goal and feels confident and comfortable, that when you go to that euphoric other side where there's peace and extreme love and joy that you feel, that I've experienced, that you're like, I don't want to come back again. I'm done. So are there any other questions?
Do you have any idea how many lifetimes you've had? One of our listeners is actually curious. Do you? Because
I'm feeling 12. I feel 12. And I really feel like we all do at least 5. Perfectionists could do 55, you know. It's up to you what you want to come back again and again. And I really feel like 12, because I've asked myself that and how I feel, and I've actually written numbers down and evaluated how it feels to me, which sounds crazy, but it's just that knowingness. And it's like I've asked my angels and guides to help me, and they're like 12. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, you know what? I've had a lot of loss in this lifetime. I've had a lot of my family and friends pass at young ages, and even babies and young children. And it's like, I feel like it's painful, and you learn from it and you go on, but I had that near-death experience and the joy and the euphoria. It's like, I really want to go back there, and I don't want to come back here. So I would really like to just stay over there. You know, maybe my soul will have a different idea when I pass, but I'm thinking I'm not going to come back again. How about you? Do you think you'll choose to come back? Or
I can tell you at this point in time, I actually know of, 12, 13, 14 of my past lives.
Okay.
I've done a lot of past life work. I honestly don't know. A good portion of me feels like this is it, and I came here for this one life to do what I needed to do and kind of finish up loose ends, so to speak. And then another portion of me thinks that they might shove me down here for one more.
So it's kind
they
of
might
off
get
the
me
ear.
Up there. Yeah, they might get me up there and be like, no, you have to go back.
Well, like when I had my near-death experience, I like was going back and forth with my dad who died when I was 14, and he's like, you have to go back. And I'm like, no. And he's like, no, you have to. You know, it's not your time. This was just like, you know, kind of a diversion of, you know, go down this path, not this path. It was a time for me to get like a aha extreme moment for my life to be woke up. And I always say that, you know, you wake up, and sometimes people need 2 and 3 wake-up calls in your life before you finally say, all right, I'm being really stubborn here. I know I need to do this. And then you finally do it. And then you're like, oh, wow, this door just opened, and this door just opened for me, and that synchronicity happens. And that's when you know you're on your soul's path and you're doing the right thing. But, you know, just to recap, like I said, just like intuitives and astrologers and psychics have many modalities that different that they do, there's, you know, if one way doesn't work for a listener today that's listening, if meditation, if you try it like 20 times and you can't get anything, you know, try the herbs, like you said, and the crystals at bedtime, and make the affirmation before you go to bed that, you know, your guides, and put it out there that I would really like to view a past life. And if there's a country that you visited that really makes you get those deja vu quivers down through your chakras, and you feel like you've been there before, obviously you can say, I'd really like to see a lifetime in Greece, if you visited Greece and you got those deja vu shivers. Wherever you've had that deja vu feeling, and it can even be in the United States, in a state that you visited that you've never been to before, but you knew you felt those shivers and you knew you've been there and lived there before. That epiphany, aha, I've been here before, I've lived here, I just know it. You can put it out there before you go to sleep. I want to see that lifetime. And you can keep doing it until it comes through in that vivid dream, and ask your guides and your angels to help. And as far as me personally, I really, the meditation and the visualization, but I've had them come through in dreams too. And you'll definitely know you've seen a past life when it comes through in a dream. Because it's different than your average weird dream where, you know, you're walking and, you know, you encounter a situation where it's just like a normal dream. You'll definitely know the difference because it's so vivid and so real, because it was real. You lived it. So there's just a totally different feeling to it. So it's I just think it's so exciting that so much can be learned from our past lives, the patterns, even glimpsing at our future to a small extent, and getting guidance from universal consciousness of where our soul is supposed to be going if you aren't on your right path. And if you are, it's confirmation that, hey, you know, you're doing a good job. This is, you're on track to where your soul wanted to be when you reincarnated this time. So, you know, some people do, when you do the meditation too, if you observe, you can like have a list, like I'll write down, okay, how old was I in this life? Before I even start the meditation, how old was I? Where was I? Was I married? And I like put questions down for myself before, so that my subconscious is like, has already thought about those questions. So that when you get in that moment, you've already put those questions into your subconscious, and it helps me to remember vividly, you know, what clothes did I have on? What were my surroundings looking like? What was I doing? How old was I? Where was I? it kind of puts it out there before you begin. And like I said, you know, I put the white light of the protection around me. I visualize that golden cord coming out of my crown chakra, connecting me to universal consciousness. And then I, you know, kind of go through with myself that when I walk back down the stairs and I take my three deep breaths and open my eyes, I will be back in my present moment, relaxed, calm, and serene. So it's just, you know, kind of aligning and attuning yourself and putting in your subconscious what you want to get out of the experience before you experience it. So you can look at the clothes you are wearing for clues as to what year it is. Like I said, you know, what kind of floor is in the building. And even jewelry sometimes will give it away what era you were in or where, or the scenery if you see mountains, you know, those kind of things. That, or the food that you're eating too, you know, the different countries and the different foods, or the languages if you, you know, don't recognize the language if you get an auditory and a visual. So just you look at the picture, listen and let that knowing intuitive message come through. And it can really be a spiritual and soul expanding experience that really anyone can have. And you just need to practice. And like I said, figure out which modality works for you. And it's, you know, the Akashic Records and the Book of Life are there in the universal consciousness for everyone to experience, not just certain people. I really feel like it, just like being intuitive, I feel like we all are. It's just practicing and meditating and experiencing it. And I always pull an angel card. And today I pulled the Angel of Freedom. I am always free to choose love, independence, and creativity. And I really feel like with our lifetime that we come back again and again, learning that love is really all there is, and love is the most important thing to give and to receive, and to use our God-given talents and our creativity, not to keep it within ourselves, even if we don't do it for our regular jobs. Find a creative outlet, share your creativity, if it's writing or art, with everybody, because it really is enriching for everyone to experience the gifts that you have. So don't keep them bottled up inside you. Let your creativity come out, and always to choose love and forgiveness, and your soul can expand and grow. And I know I talked about astrology a little bit today. I just wanted to put out there that I also will be at the Great Lakes Astrology Conference in Ann Arbor on the April 15th, 16th, and 17th. And there'll be a lot of interesting talks on astrology, and I'll actually be doing intuitive readings and Reiki there. And it's at the Holiday Inn on Plymouth Road in Ann Arbor. Because I do feel like the study of astrology really does tie in with this lifetime and past lifetimes and the Akashic Records. So I want to thank you for listening today, and enjoy the rest of your week, and I will talk to you next month. Goodbye.